Welcome to Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series. Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series is an opportunity for listeners of the podcast to learn about new and interesting productivity books and authors. I'll be interviewing some of the authors that we have read or will be reading here on Productivity Book Group, as well as other authors. These shorter podcast interviews will be injected between our normal discussion format episodes that are published here on Productivity Book Group. So, on with our Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series interview with Christoph Trapp. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Productivity Book Group Author Interview Series. I'm Ray Sidney Smith, your host. Productivity Book Group is a virtual reading club where productivity enthusiasts like you come together and discuss personal productivity books. Today, I have the pleasure of having on with me Christoph Trapp, who is the author of Get Real, Telling Authentic Stories for Long-Term Success. So with that, welcome to the show, Christoph.
Yes, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Great, great. So tell listeners about yourself and why you chose to write Get Real. Just would like to get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, you bet. So I started my career actually in journalism. I was a police reporter for a long time. Actually, the plan was to become a sports writer, even though I had never actually worked a day in my life as a full-time sports writer. But I covered the police beat for several years. And I've been telling stories ever since. So, of course, back then we didn't actually call it storytelling, but really that's what it was looking back at it today. So then I moved my career through a number of industries. I helped, you know, banks and credit unions and nonprofits and healthcare and really anybody who is interested in telling better stories. That's what I've been doing for the last few years. I do have a blog, AuthenticStorytelling.net, where I blog at least weekly. Sometimes I can't help myself, and there's a few more posts throughout the week, depending on what else is going on. But I decided that I wanted to actually turn that storyline into a book. So I took a lot of the existing materials, and I reformatted it, rewrote it, and made it a book. And it's not just blog posts. It's not just here are some blog posts I published, but I used some of that content to get the ideas flowing, and then of course come out with a complete book that has a unique storyline.
Fantastic! It's an interesting background, you know. So briefly, for audiences, you know, for the audience who haven't yet read Get Real, what's an authentic story?
That's a great question. So of course, a lot of us grew up in the marketing world, right? So we come up with messages. What's our message this year? What are we going to tell people about ourselves? And some of those marketing messages are indeed really, really good stories, but that's not what I'm talking about. An authentic story is something that's lived first, and then you share it because it has happened and people might care about it. So something happens in your organization, day-to-day operations, in somebody's life, that sort of thing. And then you share that story publicly. Now, sometimes people can learn things from those stories. You know, sometimes if something negative happened or somebody learned something new, something like that. But the key is it actually happened, and it's a story that that is real, that's true, we didn't make up. That doesn't mean that we have to share everything, right? Some people might not care about what I'm having for lunch, but there are instances where, you know what I mean? Like, if
people
post their pictures of their lunch, but there might be instances where it's totally fine and totally all right to talk about what you're eating for lunch, because, you know, if you're talking about how do you get in shape, how do you cut calories, it might be totally worthwhile sharing what you're eating for lunch, you know, but typically it's not. I mean, that's kind of a social media stereotype to a degree.
Right. It's if you have a soccer mom blog, then it's all right, you know, tweeting and talking about your kids at soccer practice. But otherwise, it's probably not interesting to most people.
Yep, absolutely.
And so tell me about what the main premise of your book is. Sort of what's that, you know, guiding thread throughout the chapters as you make your way through the book? What's that guiding, you know, sort of premise? What's the main premise?
Yep. So to help people actually figure out how to do it and why they want to do it. And so there's actually research out there that shows that if you have a shared story that you're living, and that could be an organization, it could be a group of people, it could be a business, it could be even a family. If you have a shared narrative that you're living and that you're sharing with each other, you can be stronger together, and you're actually connecting better with the right people. If you look at some of the really, really strong organizations out there that have really strong opinions, the reason they're actually out there and they're fairly successful is because they have a shared narrative with all the people they actually want to connect with. So the book talks about how do you determine, first of all, how do you determine that you're not doing it? Because sometimes people, like I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and he said, I'm in a very regulated industry, and like I'm no different than anybody else. And if you're not different, that can be easily commoditized, right? So you always have to find something. You have to find something, even if it's not the thing that's being regulated, that makes you different, and that's a differentiator. So it kind of walks you through how do you actually do that and why would you want to, and then how do you sustain it, and how do you do it in large organizations, how do you do it in small organizations, how do you do it on your own. One of my favorite debates actually is sometimes people say to me, it's so much easier when, like, you know, people building their personal brand, that's so much easier. They totally can't scale that for a large organization. And that is actually an incorrect statement. What they can do is, let's say you have somebody who really is good at, you know, who really built their personal brand. They can't do it for your organization if you bring them in at like an intern level. You know, nobody's listening to them. They're just kind of doing some of those tasks. You have to bring those people in at a higher level where they actually have some clout, so to speak. But the techniques that I'm outlining in the book, they're totally doable, of organizations of any size all the way down to somebody doing their own personal storytelling or personal branding.
So I want to dive into a little bit more, which is to say, real written for. Can you describe the ideal reader, or perhaps who it might help the most in a sense? Because you said, you know, for organizations and stuff, but who's the actual person that might pick up this book or grab it from the Amazon Kindle store and take this material and sort of run with it?
Yep, absolutely. So the target audience, so to speak, even though I like the term interested community much better than target audience, is our marketers. So marketers people are usually the ones most likely to implement any of these strategies. So if you have an organization, that would be your CMO, your VP of marketing, those kind of people. Sometimes it's VP of social media. With that being said, you know, families can read it. It's probably, you know, like my wife wouldn't necessarily want to read it, but in theory, you know, they could read it as well. But the key interested community is really that marketing executive, marketing person who is trying to change things up as much as they might have to.
Well, I'm sure your wife would read it just because she loves you.
Yeah, she did actually read it, but...
Yeah, it's funny you say that because, you know, I just recently reread the book To Sell as Human by Daniel H. Pink. I don't know if you've read it, but the premise behind it is that basically, you know, most of us are salespeople now. So in a lot of ways, we're all kind of marketing. And so I found the book to be actually, you know, I agree with you. You're the primary audience, you know, your primary interested community. I like that term. I'm going to use it. And so the primary sort of interested community would be marketing professionals and executives. I think there's a stronger, wider audience that could utilize this book. So I agree. That's really great. I wanted to ask you to sort of give us an example of an authentic story you can share with us about people or someone achieving long-term success, whether that be yourself or someone else.
Yeah. So in my case, for example, I've achieved success already just because I continue to share stories. And a lot of times, especially when something learnable happens. So something happened to me and I learned something from it. And then, you know, I share it and then people read it and then they learn from it as well. So for example, a couple lighter examples include the Facebook Live Video, right? So first of all, I still don't have it. Everybody's getting it. I still don't have it. That's okay. I like Periscope. But I've been getting all these notifications, you know, for people who are, you know, who are going live. And I'm like, how do you turn these things off? I don't care what they're even talking about, you know? So it took me a while to figure it out because it's actually not as simple as just clicking unsubscribe because there's no such button. So I wrote about it. And it took me a while to figure out. I wrote about it. I blogged about it. So that happened to me, right? And I even said, I don't need to know these people. I don't need to see these people's videos. No offense, guys. But how do you unsubscribe? And now if you actually search, could change any day. But currently, as of this time, when you search for how do you unsubscribe from somebody's Facebook Live video, I show up number one, ahead of Facebook even, who barely talks about it, you know? So again, I'm sharing something that has happened in my own life. Now, it doesn't make me look bad or anything, but I'll give you another example. I had three blogs at one time. It really got a little too much. So one of them, I wanted to just import into my authentic storytelling blog because it actually kind of fit for the most part. So it's a category now. And, you know, the authentic storytelling project blog has, you know, a good number of subscribers, email subscribers. So every time there's a new post, they get an email, right, that's something published. So what I did is I export out of one blog, I import it into the other one, and I forgot to turn off the email notifications. So you know what happened, right?
Yep.
So I imported 95 posts, and all those people got literally 95 emails. And yep. You know, I didn't lose too many people, but actually a good number of people replied, which was interesting. And they were like, I think your blog got spammed or hacked or something. And so what I did, I wrote about it. I said, here's how you correctly import and export, export and import a WordPress blog from one site into another. So again, you know, it's something that happened to me, and then I shared my experience with everybody else who might care about it. And that's, you know, those are just, they're more professional examples. Probably the most personal example I can share with you, nine or 10 years ago, you know, we lost a son, and I actually blogged about it. I blogged about it, that, what, you know, how you kind of deal with it and how you not move on, but how you move forward from it. And I finally blogged about it, and I've actually had people reply and say, this has been so helpful, something similar happened to us even more recently, you know, it's giving us hope, those kind of things. So, if, you know, you can probably already see the theme here. The theme is that the more educational and the more inspiring the stories that happen to us are, the more people will read them and actually learn something from them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think it's awareness that a story has happened in a lot of ways to be able to put a framework around it, you know? And I think that's really important. So thank you for sharing those.
Yep, absolutely. So I call that concept story shopping, you know, like window shopping. I don't go shopping. I buy my stuff online for the most part. But
that's a kind of window shopping.
Yeah, right. But, you know, window shopping, you walk window to window, and then you look, and sometimes you buy something, and a lot of times you don't. So story shopping is very similar because stuff happens in front of you all day long, and you can't literally, I mean, you honestly cannot tell all the stories in front of you. There's just not enough time. So you kind of have to be selective. Now, what I found most people when they first started, they're like, there's no stories happening in my life. And, like, if I were to shadow them for a day, you know, we'd have a whole long list, like, you know, 20 to 40 stories you could pursue. So you can't actually pursue them all. You know, I'll give you this example. Like right now, I'm on my iPhone and I'm, you know, I got the headphones in and I'm, you know, talking, which is typically how I record podcasts when I'm a guest on a podcast. I don't do my own podcast, but I'm sometimes a guest on other people's. So what I did a little bit ago here, I took a picture of how my setup is, right, as a guest. And I published a little blog post and I just said, if you're a guest on a podcast, this works. It sounds great. Don't overthink it. You know, so it's, again, I just you know, I saw this story as I was story shopping, and then I shared it, and people are still reading it, and people are still sharing it themselves. So it's apparently it is finding that interested community.
So switching gears a little bit, I always find that as I work through a book project myself as a writer, I learn sometimes fascinating data along the way that I didn't already know about my subject, or more usually things correlating to my subject. I was wondering about yourself. In other words, what are some insights you realized or learned or came across by writing this book?
I think I learned a lot about the whole process of actually writing a book. So I did the blog to book strategy. So everything on there technically is on the blog already. And so I'm now working, I just published a guide, which is quite a bit shorter, like 28 pages or something. So not quite as extensive. But when I wrote the book, you know, I didn't know a lot of things on how to actually get the thing produced. So I learned things that I'm now applying to book number, I guess, 2 and 3, if you don't count the guide. And so I learned, you know, how do you actually save things along the way? Don't just blog without the book in mind. You know, I didn't think about that. And I learned about that process quite a bit. Once you get started publishing a book, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's addictive, but it kind of is, because, you know, you can get your story out there in another way. And that's been very exciting.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear. And good luck with it all. So I'm curious about, as we close out our conversation together, what will listeners learn about being productive in Get Real? I know that you have some material in there that I think is very productivity oriented. And I was just curious, just to sort of pique readers' interests about the book, you know, what productive sort of skills do you talk about in the book?
Yeah, so, you know, I love to say that if you're looking for an excuse, you'll find one, right? There's excuses all around us. I mean, seriously, they're so easy to find. You don't even have to look for them. I do talk about some of the tools in there on, like, how to actually effectively blog and share your story. You know, there's a picture in there of me actually filing, like, an 800-word blog post with my, at the time, one-year-old sleeping on my chest. And I... You know, I'm writing it on the WordPress app on my phone. There's plenty of other ways, plenty of other tools that you can use. But honestly, it's not about the tools. It's about the mindset. Tools change all the time. It's about the, I want to do this. I'm going to make time to do it. Somebody, you know, I was in India, and they said, how do you have time to blog? And I said, I don't have time